Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
The secret is, and this is the victorious secret, Christ lives in you. Amen. So all of you, please do this. Where does he live? If he lives in you, Christ, in his fullness, what should you look like? Him. I'm not going to ask you if you do. Victorious means winning the spiritual battle over your life. That's what it means. Winning the spiritual battle over your life. Every single one of us is in a battle. I don't care who you are, what you are, we are in a battle somewhere, somehow. But we always come through victorious in Christ. Don't tell me he can't do it. I love that. Don't tell me. And I told them in the previous service, you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try everything within me to do it. We went away to North Carolina one time and the kids were climbing up a waterfall. I think it was dangerous and high. So I hear Rod telling the kids, don't do it. Unfortunately, all three of them echoed, but Mom's doing it. You got to die somehow. All right, don't tell me you can't do it. I just want to thank, before we start, I want to thank everybody involved in making this possible. The door greeters, the tea people, the media, the sound, the words. None of this can go on without every single one of the little minions. So please, can we just thank them, especially back there. So grateful. If anything goes wrong, if there's a slide, or where's the slide? Everybody turns around and looks at them. If there's a sound issue, everybody turns around. And so next time there's a sound issue or something like that, turn to your neighbor. Let them. Usually, every time I have preached a message, I have had to live what I'm about to preach. How many of you can testify? Guess what my next message is going to be? How to become a millionaire. I'd like to live that one. So I want to read this to you. I wrote it down and I want to read it because I won't remember it and it won't be as powerful. But we face battles in our homes, in our relationships, and in our cluttered hearts and distracted minds. We want a Pinterest-worthy house, a flawless skin, a six-pack, a picture-perfect marriage, envy-indulging Instagram feeds, and we also want to take control of everything that will ever happen to us. And since for most of us this is just normal life, we forget that this normal life is a battlefield, one where souls are won or souls are lost. Instead of arming ourselves with the right weapons, we respond to our frustrations and disappointments by slapping on an Instagram filter, or grabbing an expensive latte, or pointing out someone else's fault so we can feel good about ourselves. What is it that we're going to go to in life that is going to be sustaining? This is not sustaining. It's temporary. I want to read you a quote. Nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things. And here's the key. Outlook determines your outcome. If we see only the problems, we will be defeated. But if we see the possibilities in the problems, we have victory. You've got to see beyond the problems, trials and testings. I hate the scripture with a passion, but it's there. Consider it pure, not just joy, pure joy when you encounter trials and testings. Why? It makes you grow. It makes you strong. How many of you love that scripture? Tell me. That's the one that's on your mirror and you love it. And you ask God for it every day. But we all have it. And it's good for us because life is not easy. And it's not supposed to be. All of you that think you're supposed to be happy all the time, then it's selfish. It's all about you. You need to have an external vision to change lives outward instead of you always being the focus. Amen? Amen. Numbers 13, verse 1. I'm going to go to the children of Israel. When God spoke to Moses and told him to take the children of Israel out and take them to the promised land. Do you know how many millions of people? Imagine taking a crowd. I mean, it's to have a congregation this big is wonderful. But as it grows, your concerns grow and your responsibility. Imagine Moses. He needs a medal with all those people. Anyway, so Moses goes out and the Lord speaks to Moses. That's the key. Moses didn't speak to Moses. Rod didn't speak to Moses. His friends didn't. The Lord spoke to Moses, and this is what he said. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. I, God Almighty, send you, and I, God Almighty, will give it to you. Period. So what does that mean? It means I'm going to do it. It's done. Just do what I ask you. Do your part. Let's go to Numbers 13, verses 20 to 27. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. And if you read in scripture, the grapes were so big they had to put it on a pole to carry it. That's how everything was just flourishing. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. This was their report to Moses. We used to sing that song, Whose Report Do You Believe? We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, Anak is referred to in the book of Genesis. I'm not going to go into that, but where they talk about giants. So here God spoke and God's told them, he says, I'm going to do it, but they're coming back. You don't understand how big the people are there. We can't do this. How many of us do that? 10 out of 12, Moses selected 12 people, one from each tribe so nobody would feel left out. Isn't he clever? Sent them. Two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with a negative report. And I want to ask you, which one would you be? Would you be one of the two or would you be one of the 10? And I'm going to ask you that in life today. With everything that's going on politically, socially, in our country, are you the one with a positive report or are you the one with a negative report? Because there is something positive in everything. Sorry about that. We'll move on. Just as faith is contagious, so is cynicism. Are you the one that has a good report, or are you the one that is always the bearer of bad news? If you look, you will always find something good. Even if there's no good, look at it and go, but God is good. Amen? It's hard to be around people that are cynical and negative continuously because you know what? It affects you. Yes. If you have cynical people holding up your mirror, you will always feel small. That's why I bought this mirror. What are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Because when I look at the mirror of the word, that is my reflection. What do you want reflected back to you? Because what you look at is what you're going to see. You'll be smaller than your challenge, smaller than your giant, smaller than your addiction. Look to the mirror of the word and he becomes bigger and everything else becomes smaller. Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 9. Here's Joshua and Caleb. And they say, do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. He didn't look at the spears. He didn't look at the giants. He said they are helpless. But look at us. We have God Almighty behind us. We've got to start changing our language, changing our vision to greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We've got to get above the circumstance and not stay under. When your maker is your mirror, everything changes. Everything. Somebody's asking me, what happened to Nathan's foot? Can't they see I'm preaching? Sorry. Oh, well. One thing that a mirror does is that it actually shows you the image in reverse. So you take your problem to Christ. It's a problem. He reverses it and deals with it. If you don't take it to the mirror of the Word or to Jesus Christ, there's no reversing. Only He can do that. He reverses it for the good. God knows how your situation turns out. God knows how your story ends. God knows what He's put in you. He knows. Some of you have been looking in the wrong mirrors. You've been looking at your mistakes, your feelings. That's not where we're supposed to go. Everybody's acceptance is not always a blessing. You've got to see the majority is not always right. Here there were 10 of them saying, it's no good, we're done. Here's two saying, we can do it. Which one are you? The mirror tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Sarah shared a really good message on that last week. We're going to go back to the story, Numbers 14. 30 to 33. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land. Here he is. Hey, we've got this. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. And this is what I want you to see. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. How many of you, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news? How many of you are like the Israelites, that all you're doing is preaching bad news? Bad things about this country, bad things about that, bad things about this. Let's preach the good news because it's contagious. So if you read scripture, you'll see throughout how many thousands listened, became contaminated, and it cost them their lives. Just go and read it. I don't have the opportunity to go there. But they started to murmur and talk amongst each other and gain momentum. That's what the enemy does. He lies. So you spread a lie. Now it's two lies, and so it rolls. Then they said, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live here. All the people we saw are huge. Now they're going, anybody who goes in there is going to just be defeated. That's not what the word said. They said, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. But listen to this. And that's what they thought about us too. Serious? You don't even know what they thought, but you are so deceived that now you want people to be more convinced. So you're going, and they think so too. So you deceive yourself even more. We've had people come to us. Well, you know, we've spoken to a few people and we think this should happen. Oh, okay. Who's the few people you've spoken to? Oh, quite a few. Well, who's that? Me and my wife or me and my husband. That's what they were doing here. Now they're even convinced of what someone else is thinking when they're not thinking it at all. They became the mirror for millions of people who had a promise from God and hadn't possessed it yet. Why is this so important? It's important who you hang around with. It's important what you take in, and it's important what you look at. Because that's what you become what you behold. What are you looking at? What are you putting yourself into? You've stopped looking at God and you've started looking at the giants or something else. And then when you look at the giants in the mirror, you see yourself as small, as a grasshopper. It's not how big you see God that counts, but it's how much you believe that God sees in you. Everybody knows God's big, a form of a God. But how much do you believe how big he is in you? Because if you believed it, you'd live it. A lot of us, it's not a knowledge issue, it's a belief issue. And that's what the enemy comes to destroy. Our reflection determines our reality. What are you pouring into your life for your reality? What is the Goliath in you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't wait for things to turn around and be good before you start worshiping God or trusting God. So let's look at David. So here the Goliath is shouting to God, to the Israelites, saying, I'm going to kill you. You're done. You've had it. And now they're trying to find one person, just one person, to challenge Goliath. The most unlikely person. Eventually, how would you like to know that they tried everybody and you were the last resort? Now it's up to you, and you've been known as the runt of the litter. That's not very encouraging. But what does David do? David spoke God's narrative to Goliath even before he fought the battle. You need to speak the narrative of God to the mountain, not to God about the mountain. Go to that mountain and speak God's word to it. 1 Samuel 17:45-47, here's the scenario. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. You might as well just put everything down and go, we give up. Put your white flag up. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord will do, he says, this day, if you look at the plagues, I cannot believe Pharaoh's thinking. Tomorrow, where there's frogs everywhere, and they say, well, we can deal with it. Yeah, tomorrow. I would have been right now, instantly, I'm out of here. This day, he says, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll spike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Does the whole world know there's a God right here in America? Yes. Heck yes. Because if I'm there, he's there. If you're there, he's there. So let's reflect and represent him as well as we can. Let us be the mirror for the world to get them to have that desire to get to know Jesus Christ. Or are you repelling them with your negativity, your cynicism, your double lifestyle, where you're one person here, but over here, you'd wonder if you were even saved. That's just for free. David doesn't just speak God's confidence. He walks in it. He lives it. He breathes it. He acts it. There's always victory before the battle in Christ. In the natural, there's only victory after the battle. See, the mirror turns it around. God makes it victory before you even fight, because he's fighting for you. My maker is my mirror, not my enemies. He's my mirror. Not my enemies. God is not your refuge from trouble. You're going to get into trouble. God is your refuge in trouble. He's not going to take it away. And I want to put this up. Do not live at sea level. S-E-E. How many of you are living your lives by what you see, by what you feel? Honestly, there's a lot of us. This last week, we got a phone call from our son, Nathan, and he's in hospital. He went for his foot. He broke his foot. I don't want to get into all the information, but he has the chance of losing his foot. And he went in for his foot, and they found out that he was actually on borderline collapsing because his potassium and sodium levels were so low. So they had him in ICU for 2 days. So that was just another issue. So if I have to look at everything by what I see, I'd collapse. But you know what? Greater is He that is in me. I am seated where in heavenly places above everything I see, everything I feel, and God is in control. Is that denial? Absolutely not. It's faith in the one that I know made me, knows my beginning, my end, and has everything, my whole life, in the palm of His hands. You're looking through the wrong mirrors. Do you spend your time in the wrong mirror of social media, television, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram? I'm telling you, these things are traps. You see someone puts a comment you don't like and that little lawyer inside of you rises up and now you've got to exercise self-control not to put it on there and don't do it. Stay away. And like I said in the last service, Zelda. How many of you ever knew? I never knew Zelda even existed till I spoke to Maria and my sister. My sister never plays video games, but decided she'd try this one and became so addicted she couldn't wait for her husband to go to bed so she could get up and play. Because you become, you take on that character, you think about it, you dream about it. How can I bet? For goodness sake, get into the mirror of the Word. Let that be your reflection. The danger is all this is going to do is going to show you who you are not. That's all it's going to do. Your shortcomings. You've been struggling over external issues, but what's in you is what counts. The external and what's in you are the two different worlds that we need to pull together. And we had a look at that with David. So here's David. He sees Goliath. What does he do? The external giant. No problem. We've got this. I might be puny. I might be small, but we've got this. Okay, let's go over here to the internal Goliath, the internal giants. How did David do? Lust, murder, pride, laziness, selfishness. How did he deal with that? You got to bring the two worlds together where you have victory in both, over the external giants and the internal giants. It's the internal giants that get to you. We have to deal with it. James 1, verses 23 and 24. I did it wrong on there. It's not 34. That doesn't exist. But hey, my mistake. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the face of a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I cannot run around to people who are struggling with their own sense of self to determine mine. I cannot run around to people who are struggling with their own sense of self to determine mine. Who determines mine? My Maker, my Father. The wilderness can do one of two things to you. It can kill you or it can make you stronger. I love what Caleb says, that he didn't get the wilderness in him, even though he went through the wilderness. Do not get the world in you while you are going through the world. How many believers, when you look at them, you see more of the world than you see of Christ? Because you're looking at the wrong mirror. We settle too low. We settle for what we see. We settle for what people say. We settle for old templates. We settle for the old script. We settle for old emotions. We settle for old hurts. Got to get above that. And I love this. You have to settle up. And I was going to do this in the beginning of the service, but Fred, please can you come up? I'm going to use the other people to illustrate. But I had a word for you this morning. And I want Rod, please. So I want you to stand down there. And I just, you know, you can face, you can face us. I don't mind. You have to turn it this way, actually. Okay, sure. I felt God's word for you was that in the spirit realm, God is taking you physically and getting you to step up to a place you've never been before, ever. And they're going to be giants that you've dealt with but have never gone away. And God says, step up, a new mantle, a new gifting, and those giants are gone. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Father.
Yeah. So, Father, as a dad and as a shepherd, I say yes and amen to that word. Call that new strength, new height, new walk, a new season into Fred's life and Denise's life. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Where you lead, you feed. Where you guide, you provide. Mm. Thank you that you equip this man for the next season that will push back the powers of darkness and advance
your
kingdom.
Father.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We shall so pray. You know, God uses times, moments, seasons, and I haven't even been thinking about this. I knew today God said, Val, you get Fred to go from there to here because I'm doing something in the spirit realm. If you see with the eyes of the spirit, you'll know what's going on. But if you see with the eyes of the natural, it all just seems just blah. We have to settle up above what you see, above what you feel, and above what you've been through. How many of you have been hurt? Okay, how many of you have not been hurt ever?
You're lying.
It takes you through. Amen? At the time, you feel like you're going to die. Your heart, you feel like, I feel like someone's got my heart and they're just squeezing. But you know what? I say, have a good night's sleep, have something to eat, and Jesus is Lord the next day. Yeah. We need to get a fresh perspective. You cannot have a victory without a battle. The level that you settle on is the level that you will see yourself. Don't settle. I'm constantly aiming for higher and better. I want to be a better version of myself every day. How many times have you and I gone to the wrong mirror where we see ourselves as grasshoppers, where we see a failure, where actually it was a lesson, where we see through the filter of fear? And God said, let us make man in our own image. God wants us to reflect him to the world so that when he sees me, he sees himself. He sees the Son. He sees in me himself. Amen? You've been consulting the physical mirror, the emotional mirror, the natural mirror. And God says no more. You are stuck between the two realities, the giants in front of you and the giants inside. So I'm going to ask, where are my two volunteers? I changed my volunteer. So where's Chris Garland? Is he here? And then where's Norm? I picked on someone else this morning, so I thought I'd, just to show you.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
God is bigger than any giant. Way bigger, okay? So Norm, please will you stand behind him? Directly behind him. How many of you can see Norm? No, man, not on the side. When we allow ourselves to look at the mirror of God's word, this is what's here. God's going to fight for me. He's way bigger. But if I'm looking elsewhere, sorry, Norm. You're going to still see the giants. We have to, oh, sorry. Thank you, you too. We have to see and allow God to be that mirror to reverse our situations. Thank you, you too. Yeah. We've got to learn how to worship God. We've got to learn how to get into the Word. Believe His promises. The Word of God makes you stronger in your spirit than the enemies in your situation. You get that? The Word of God. That looks like Chris, hey? I'll read that again. The Word of God makes you stronger in your spirit than the enemies in your situation. We have to step up higher and allow God to work in and through us continuously. I cannot say this enough to you. And I'm going to read this quote by Watchman Nee. Outside of Christ, I am a sinner. In Christ, I am saved. Outside of Christ, I am empty. But inside Christ, I am full. Outside of Christ, I am weak. In Christ, I am strong. Outside of Christ, I cannot. In Christ, I am more than able. Outside of Christ, I have been defeated. In Christ, I am already victorious. How meaningful are the words, in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ alone. I'm going to read another quote, and I'd like you to see where you're at here. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, because they become your habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, for that becomes your destiny. What you feed yourself is where you're going to grow. Make sure that you are feeding yourself. 1 Corinthians 15:57. In Jesus, we have the victory. And Nate did a brilliant message on the glove, where I am the glove. And here's my life without Christ. I can talk to that. Do something. It's not going to do anything. Go touch people. Change lives. Nothing. But when I take Jesus Christ, put him in my life, now what happens? Everything I do is because he is in me. That's how our lives need to be. So I'll leave it with this, that this is the victorious secret. Every time you go to that shop, you shout out, the victorious secret is Christ in me. Amen? Christ in me. And I'm going to ask Dee if you can just come up. There are several of you that have giants in front of you. I have two giants right now that I have no control over, none. I can try. I have tried. And all I do is get hurt or disappointed. And God gave me a vision of, Val, you got to stay this side and stay in peace and allow me to resolve. But, you know, God's timing, I always say, man, you miss lots of opportunities to be early. But he's never late. He's never late. There are times you just have to let go and reflect in the presence and the word and the encouragement of God that he is able to do exceedingly more above what I ever expect, think, or can. But we want to fix things. We want to make everything. Then what happens? And now I am going to become that person's mirror and I'm going to get in the way. I don't ever want to be that person. I want Jesus Christ to be their mirror, to be their savior. I can help. I'll point you there. But I never want to be that person in your life. Nobody can replace Jesus Christ. Nobody or nothing. So if you don't know Jesus, for all those that are out there and in here, if you don't know Jesus, that's the first step. You have to, you can have food on a plate, look at it, but until you eat it, until you put it in you, there's no sustenance. It's the same with Jesus. You've got to allow him in your life as Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, please come and see me or Rod or one of the leaders and give your lives to Christ. All it is Jesus, I can't do anything, but you can. I surrender. Come into my heart, come into my life, be my best friend, be my Lord, be my Savior. Guide me, lead me, take this life that could do nothing and allow me to do things because of you and because you're in me. And there's, I know that there are those, like Maria this morning, she shared, so it helped, and some of you, but there are some of you that have giants in your life that are just way bigger than you. I want you to stand, please. I'm standing twice, three times. You can stand. It's just bigger than you. Relationships, jobs, physical, emotional, family, families, our children, broken relationships, or good relationships, but they just have the external and the internal scrambled. Father, we just step back and we put the mirror of your word and we say thank you that you are in me and that you fight the battles. We stand here, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we say thank you, Father, that it's done through you and because of you. You can fight these giants. So we hand them to you. And Father, I'm asking you, I know some of you need a miracle, and I'm asking you, Father, for a miracle right now, right here. Thank you for good reports. And Father, even in this process, give us the patience that your time is the right time. Yeah, thank you, Father, that Christ lives in me. I have had this song on my heart the whole week, and I didn't speak to Rachel about the song list, but I want us to sing this. We're going to close with, it's going to be up here. The band don't have to play. I asked them to prep it. I want us to sing this song with everything we have in us, because God is a God of miracles. How many of you believe that? I know we kind of, I believe he is the God of miracles. And I'm trusting when you walk out today, something has broken. Something has changed on earth as it is in heaven, that heaven is going to come down and we're going to see his power. So if you could just play that and then...